This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Happy Football Friday to you. Friday News Dump's coming up here in about 20 minutes right now. Quick Puck, Proper Round Tripper, and more. Here's Wolchuk.
Stars, unfortunately, will not go 82-0. They did lose last night to Washington. It was a feverish effort late in that third period to get the equalizer. A lot of blocked shots. I know Pete DeBoer after the game was not happy with the power play. Said, hey, they had an opportunity there with under 5 minutes left. They got a man up, and they weren't able to capitalize on the power play. Pete DeBoer sending a message, guys, that's an opportunity we've got to cash in. So they won't go 82-0, but they still look like one of, if not the best team in all of the National Hockey League. In fact, ESPN has put out their first round of power rankings in the NHL today. Where do you think your Dallas Stars are?
Uno.
Number one.
Let's go.
Number one is
cash
your Dallas
now,
Stars. Previously, preseason ranking, they were number three. And they next will play at home rematch of the Western Conference Finals. The Edmonton Oilers, Connor McDavid, Draisaitl and company are coming back to the AAC. Hopefully revenge is in store. ESPN does want to highlight Logan Stankoven. The rookie is contributing from wherever Coach Pete DeBoer plunks him in the lineup.
Oh, yeah, this is legendary.
Be it on the top unit or elsewhere, through his first four games, the versatile youngster provided an assist on goals by five different teammates, including one on the power play. Logan Stankoven's been awesome. It's been fun to see him and Maverick Bork at times together. They were a dominant pair in the AHL.
Man, I can't imagine what a nightmare having to deal with those guys.
I know, the quickness that they've got. So, hey, big day yesterday. You get Jake Oettinger signed. You don't get the victory, but now you get to turn your focus tomorrow against the Oilers, and hopefully you're able to get a victory and set the tone for what could easily be a postseason rematch down the line. But you get a little bit of feel-good back from them ruining your season last year.
Edmonton kind of starting out like they did last year, where they were not very good. I think they're 2-3 right now.
Good, screw them. I hope they miss the playoffs.
They'll be really bad for about 12 games, and then they'll fire their coach, and then they'll
be good again,
and then they'll find a way to make a run. they're playing right into the way they did last year.
Man, yeah. Now, no Joe Pavelski this year. There was an interesting article in the Morning News. Yeah.
Do you like the day hockey games for the Stars?
I do. In fact, the last time Edmonton was in town, I think it was a 2 o'clock puck drop, and I went to that game. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the same opinion on that. I do too. 3 o'clock start, 2 o'clock start. I'll get taken as early as 12:30.
Kind of in the middle of that college football season.
Well, see, during football season, it's kind of a pain in the buns. But once it flips over to February, March, April, like, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But that's why you have multiple
The Saturday
TVs.
Home game is a good one.
It
You're
is.
Right about that.
It's best in springtime during the playoffs.
It is.
That's when it's legendary.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it is. Stars now 4-1 on the season. Pete DeBoer talking about his general feeling on the hockey team on the flagship station. You know, I really like the group. The core of the group is the same core, give or take. Obviously, you lose Joe Pavelski, who's moved on, but it's the same core as when I got here 2 years ago. They're a little older, a little more experienced, a little more hardened. From my perspective, from a coaching perspective, a lot easier training camp. You're not implementing all new systems. They're really familiar with how we want to play and identify what we're trying to build. He talked about the hunger the team's been showing. They've got fresh young blood, guys that have come in here that have been able to take over some of the roles that Joe Pavelski that they lost with there. So all in all, I mean, I love the message that Pete DeBoer sent into the group. I think he's got a really good feel for this team when it's time to kind of call him out publicly like he did last night with the power play, but also entrusting some of the veterans like Jamie Benn to be able to kind of police that locker room as well.
It's a special combination. I have total faith in Pete and Jim. You know, this is a great coach-GM combination. The blend of youth and experience is fantastic. The veteran leadership is great. I do believe strongly they lack the premier talent that drives championships teams to the ultimate prize.
Yeah, the one star.
I feel like one way or another, they'll get it done. You know, you don't always have to have one of those, and you could win it just by being persistently pretty dang good and being in the mix. But I do wonder, you know, what they could do or who the next great star is that they'll find that could push this team over the top like Edmonton's guys.
And maybe it ends up being one of these young guys. Maybe Logan Stankoven steps up, Maverick Bork.
Stankoven is amazing.
Wyatt Johnston certainly continues to become better and better. Maybe one of those guys steps up. Jason Robertson, Robo is a really good player. I'm with you. I don't think he's quite at that elite tier like what we saw from Sidney Crosby for so many years.
The problem is, in all sports, you get to the postseason, you're facing the best defensive teams.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to beat them with passing and moving it around and trusting your system, that works until the end. And then you need Jordan. Then you need Tom Brady or Mahomes.
You need the individual skill to be able to kind of
beat the great team defense.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Now, Sam Steele's questionable for tomorrow's game against Edmonton. Tweaked something at the end of yesterday's game, according to Pete DeBoer, might need to call somebody up. Could be Brendan Smith, who's probable. Tyler Seguin, Matt Dumba, not ready. They're not going to be playing tomorrow against the Oilers. So from the puck, let's go to the diamond. We do have some NLCS baseball going on right now. After yesterday, the Dodgers shellacking the Mets 10-2. Right now at Citi Field.
10-5.
It's now 10-5 Mets. Yeah. Leading the Dodgers in the top of the fifth. Looks like the Dodgers just got on the board here.
Yeah, yeah. It was a home run to left field, scored a couple, so they trimmed that lead. But it's been all Mets up to this point.
Yeah, it has. The Mets came out and just were absolutely on fire. Of course, this is a game that they've got to have to be able to save their season. And right now they're playing like it, you know, and in top of the fifth, two outs. Oh, well, now it's going to be at the bottom of the fifth. A lot of baseball left to go here, but this is a game that the Mets have to win or the Dodgers will go to the World Series. Tonight, we've got Yankees and we've got the Guardians of Cleveland. What an epic game it was. We were driving home yesterday after the show thinking, oh my goodness gracious, the Yankees could be going up 3-0. Then you had a Bomski, one out, bottom of the ninth. They force extra innings for the Cleveland Guardians. You go into extra innings, David Fry, the Grapevine Kid, comes up to the dish.
Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes.
I'm always surprised when the Yankees lose like that. I always expect the Yankees to win. I'm always pleasantly surprised when they don't. And then the other thing about that clip, just to hear the emotion in the voices, you know, you think back to last year and Hicks and Adele calling these magical moments, and they take you away. You know, they're intoxicating. They are immortalized in time.
It's the postseason baseball special. It makes you miss having this run the Rangers went on. Hopefully next year this time we get to relive some of that. But after the game, David Fry, Grapevine Zone, asked about that moment. He said, I just told God, take the at-bat. I still don't know what happened. As he just blacked out, 2-1. Guardians still down. They look to equalize the series tonight as game 5 will be played as soon as this one concludes.
You got to find a way to make you present, you know, and letting turning it over to God and being like, I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to let whatever happen. I think that's genius.
It's in your hands here. Max Muncy, by the way, yesterday, 12 straight times on base as he went ahead and tied a Major League Baseball postseason record. I got to go ahead and look and see if maybe he's gotten on base. Then the record, 13 straight games, would be all his today. For Max Muncy, and it looks like, he has been on base. So he has broken that record. It is all his when it comes to the most consecutive games on base in postseason history. Shout out to Max Muncy of the Dodgers. We talked about this a little bit before the show.
What's that?
The Chicago White Sox owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, is in active discussions about selling the team.
You got $2.4 billion?
Yeah, well, so he bought the team. Think about this.
Oh, he bought this for nothing.
1981 is when he purchased it. Do you know the month? Do you know the number?
He bought this team. I'm just going to guess. He bought this team for $15 million.
You're really, really close.
Oh, really? He was close.
$15 million is really close. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say five.
$5 million?
Yeah.
$20 million.
Yeah.
$20 million is what he bought it for in 1981. It's now estimated to be worth $2.5 billion, according to Forbes. So, of course, he also owns the Chicago Bulls.
But he's selling that.
Yeah, he's not going to sell the Bulls. But now he's looking at possibly selling the White Sox. So
actually, the Rangers, I think his team is worth $2 billion, and the Rangers are $2.4 billion. And I asked you okay. which one you would rather buy.
Rangers.
If you could
yeah.
buy one.
Yeah, I'd rather buy the Rangers. I just feel like the White Sox, and hey, no disrespect to any Shy Sox fans that are out there, but the Pale Hose are kind of the, you know, the little brother to the
Stadium
Cubs.
Stadium issues.
Yeah, you got to compete with your own city on yeah. merch.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that team in the Chicago? The Cubs are worth more $2 billion more than the White Sox.
Wow. And they're a national brand. Yeah.
Think about that in the same
That's
city.
That's amazing. And yes, 254. Former Baylor Bear, Max Muncy. Shout out to you, sir. There Absolutely. You
oh, Shohei just struck out.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
05, they did win the World Series under Reinsdorf, but since then, they've only made the playoffs in a total of 7 times. They've made 3 postseasons, haven't advanced a single round since that 2005 World Series victory for the White Sox.
That, yeah, that's one of those teams I'm just going to pass. You know, I'm going to look for a different team to buy, because once I bought a team, I can't own 2 teams in the league. You know, I don't want the Jets. I don't want the Mets. I don't want the White Sox. I don't want the Angels.
I like that. Like, what's on the list of teams you absolutely would not want to own?
Yeah. I don't want the Washington Wizards. I just always thought that's a weird NBA team.
It is
team.
Weird. I wouldn't want the Eagles, but that's just a personal thing. Like, I can't stand the Eagles. Maybe yeah, financially yeah, no, you would no. want the Eagles.
No, you wouldn't want the Eagles.
No?
No.
You want a team where you can dominate that area damn near.
That's right.
You don't yeah. have to share no area.
Yeah, I don't want to fight for control of my own city.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to not be a national brand like the Cubs or the Yankees, but it's another to be the second fiddle. You know, the only advantage there is you can tell your advertisers, we live in a giant city. You know, if we start winning, millions of people are going to watch.
Why do I feel like that? You know, the least expensive team in the league is the Florida Marlins or the Miami Marlins, excuse me. They're $1 billion. Why do I feel like that would be a deal?
To buy the Marlins. Yeah,
to buy the Marlins.
Hey, if you turn them
because
around,
because baseball
absolutely.
Down there in Miami, how could you? I mean, you could turn that thing around and make money, can't you?
I would think so. That's a team that's
I'm worried about making money. I just want to win
ball
games.
They've won a couple of World Series with low payrolls, too. Yeah. 99 and I think 03, if I have those years correct. But I don't know. Maybe baseball just doesn't catch on as we think it does.
Why does like $1 billion seem like a really good deal for a baseball team?
Like the Rays, and granted, right, these are like different parts of Florida, but the Rays have had good teams. They just don't get attendance.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Miami now Miami's been bad. So maybe if Miami was good, like I wonder what their attendance was like.
The A's are worth more than the Marlins.
Than the Marlins.
Yeah. Wow.
I think it might be a couple of times where they won the World Series and then sold off the team.
They did.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think maybe the fan relationship, but I don't know if pro baseball has ever been big in Florida, which is weird because it's such a massive thing for the kids there. I
mean, it is.
There's a lot of players that come from Florida.
And so many teams have their spring training out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It's a great destination. The Yankees are playing spring training out there, like the Grapefruit League.
They're in Tampa. The Yankees are.
They are. I got to go check out a game there when I was a kid. It was a beautiful ballpark.
Yeah.
So, but Athletic has the teams that did make the postseason ranked by their best positioning to make the playoffs in 2025. Texas Rangers come in as the third most likely team.
Oh, there we
out
go.
Of the 18 that did not make the postseason, Rangers are the third most likely to make it. They wrote the Rangers offense didn't live up to expectations as Corey Seager was limited to 123 games due to injury. Adolis Garcia, the biggest disappointments offensively were also rookie outfielder Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford, who didn't live up to lofty expectation. Carter obviously played just 45 games. Langford didn't get going until the second half of the season.
Bang.
Nathan Eovaldi was their best starter and the only one with double-digit wins. He's eligible for free agency. DeGrom came back, made three starts. Rocker made a strong impression in his three September starts. Rangers have some work to do in the offseason to improve their pitching staff and lineup, but the core is there to make a playoff push in 2025. The only two teams ahead of the Rangers would be the Diamondbacks, who they beat in the World Series, and then the Seattle Mariners. I'm going to say that the Seattle Mariners do not have as good of a chance as your Texas Rangers to get there. For whatever reason, that Mariners club just seems to perennially just underachieve.
The Diamondbacks had a chance. Remember,
they did. They went down to the final day.
Yeah, the final day, that doubleheader game between the Mets and Atlanta cost them an opportunity to get in.
They probably would have got in if they hadn't signed Montgomery.
And the they might have. I mean, it literally came down to a game or two. Christian Walker is a big free agent for them at first base. That might be somebody. I don't know if the Rangers will be able to spend to have Christian Walker, but if you want to upgrade at first base, that's a name I would love. And a Texas Rangers uniform. Young has really, really good offensive potential. I think that could be an upgrade. Love you, Nathaniel Lowe, but maybe there. So there's a little quick puck in around the bases for you.
972 says Miami residents don't care about sports. It's weird. 817 says, so Gavin, by that logic, you wouldn't buy the Bills either. I think I would. I mean, Buffalo's about 5 hours away. It's a different media market than New York.
Building a new stadium, too.
Yeah, I think I'd buy the Bills. That's passion.
Dome out that stadium, though.
No,
for sure.
They're
so you
not
keep butts in seats, Dawson. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
butts in seats.
I'm not. We're not going to go play in a blizzard if I own the team.
Well, if you own Buffalo, you're going to play in a blizzard.
Yeah, I'm going to build a new stadium.
They're already building one.
Well, I'm going to have to build another one.
He's going to build a better one. State of the art.
The good news is you know, we just threatened to leave town if you don't pass this tax. So we got two stadiums now.
We're going
to
move this team.
808, I don't know. Where would I move a team
Dover,
to
Delaware.
Right
exactly. Tax-free. <Yeah.
laughs> I hear Oakland needs a team. 808, y'all sound dumb. The Eagles have a fan base that's loyal and they spend. Well, I mean, there's some things that just are more important than money. You know, and that's not being affiliated with the Eagles in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and you're an Eagle fan, 808. I expect you to say that.
Yeah. 940, Jerry could take over the White Sox and make them worth more than the Cubs.
Mark Cuban tried to buy the Pirates one time.
I think he also tried to buy the Rangers.
Yeah.
Why wasn't Mark Cuban allowed to buy the Rangers? Asked the 682. I thought there was some rule against it. Well, he just lost the bidding against Ray Davis and Bob. Out there in Arlington one day, wasn't it? Or wasn't? Yeah, I think it was in Arlington. It was one of my first shows here on The Fan as that whole thing was going down. It was incredible. And I think he tried to buy a different team as well.
Pirates.
Yeah, the Pirates.
Yeah,
Pirates.
Yeah, but there was a different thing with that.
He's a Pittsburgh guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He had said in the past that maybe his sensibilities didn't line up with the old school baseball owners because he would try to be a disruptor and stuff, and they kind of didn't like him.
Makes sense.
I know that's what he
had
said.
Yeah, that was like the heart. He was in a war with the NBA officials and all that was going on.
Yeah, they thought he was just going to be, you know, poking holes in the boat or whatever. We got a Friday news dump coming up. What's that consist of?
Man, I got an audio bonanza for you. I have a lot left that we haven't played. George Kittle's Welcome to the NFL moment. Baker Mayfield is missing his best friend in media wiener watchers. That's next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. You're going to get 90 minutes of the three-time Hall of Famer Chris Arnold tonight. He's going solo Fan After Dark till 8:30, and then you're going to get the BYU-Oklahoma State football game. Okay. Crosstalk's coming up here at 6:40. Time for a Friday news dump brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art, and the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here's Zach with an H.
All right, let's hit some audio that we haven't been able to get to today or over the course of the week. One news item that we didn't get to a couple days ago, the Super Bowl is going to return to Atlanta in 2028. The Mercedes-Benz Stadium will get the Super Bowl. They had it a few years back. Patriots beat the Rams 2019.
It's a good hangout.
It's a forgettable game. So, yeah, is that a good spot?
Yeah, they had us downtown. They had us right by the convention center, by the CNN building, I think. Near the place where the Atlantic Olympic bombing was. But Atlanta's got tons of cool stuff all over the place.
Awesome.
Yeah, I really had a great time exploring.
So we'll get to partying in Atlanta there in 2028. Okay.
You didn't have a hot dog at the Varsity, did you?
I did not.
That's a famous hot dog place. The Varsity.
The Varsity.
Yeah.
That's a good spot.
Yeah. Good place to eat hot dogs.
We'll have to check that out when we go there for the Super Bowl.
Yep.
We do have some NFC South audio. We'll start here with Jim Mora. Now, this is what Saints fans were really hoping Dennis Allen would do last night after they get spanked at home. Drew Brees gets into the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame there for the Saints, does a halftime speech. It was awesome. And then they get completely just obliterated by their former head coach, Sean Payton. They're very, very hurt right now. It's a banged up, wounded team. But Saints fans weren't happy, and I saw that this post-game rant from Jim Mora went viral again.
Well, what happened was that second game, we got our ass kicked, or the second half. We just got our ass totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a horse performance in the second half. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed. Coaching did a horrible job. The players did a horrible job. We got our ass kicked in that second half. It sucked. It stunk.
It's so good. Every time I hear
legendary.
It just gets better. It really does. I wish the Cowboys would sometime, like Mike McCarthy, would just be honest. You know, we all saw what happened.
Yeah.
You know, no, don't say it was the execution. No, we just got our ass kicked.
Yeah. Jim Moore, 89 years old.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
Shout out was to that you, the Jim. Playoffs rant?
There, he had two. So that was with the Saints, that post-game rant. Then the playoffs one was with the Colts.
Okay. Yeah.
He's just a beast, dude. Some of the best rants of all time.
It's always like his post-game press conferences were always kind of like...
Better than the game?
Well, no, he was always...
Sounds like it.
It's like they didn't have a podium. It's like he just kind of walked outside the locker room and was like,
yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah.
You know?
He just goes.
It's always like some... Like he's standing in front of like a Coke machine or something. I mean, man. He's always just... It just
that's how basketball pressers would be often if you were on the road. You know,
okay.
Just stand outside.
So the guy would just come outside of his locker room, basically, and you'd have the cameras right there in the hallway. Man.
Epic. Okay,
all right, Jerry.
Yeah.
Baker is getting ready. Bucks and Ravens. This is actually a really good Monday Night Football game.
Ooh.
So Baker Mayfield.
Man, the Ravens have played a pretty damn good schedule.
They have. And now you look up and they're 4-2. And again, they're one of the best teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
So Baker, who's quarterbacking the Bucks, gets to play against his former college teammate and best friend, Mark Andrews, who is, of course, having a struggle of a year, tight end for the Ravens. But I think Baker, you know, sometimes not everybody's as good as balancing work life, friendship, personal life. And Baker just misses his buddy.
Even though Mark and I are best friends, him and I don't talk in season. He's a weirdo. He can't exactly... separate friendship and football. So he struggles with that on a year-to-year basis. So there's a few months at a time where we're friends again, but for right now, no.
What is that like then when you go?
It hurts. What's it like? It hurts. It hurts my feelings. It hurts my feelings. Guy was in my wedding, won't talk to me. It hurts my feelings. Just going to be honest.
Hurts my feelings. I appreciate the honesty there. I mean, did you ever run into that in your days in the NFL, Brian? People just can't really separate, like, okay, personal and then also work. Like during the NFL season, they just cut you off completely and then come off season. It's like, okay, we can be buddies again.
No, I'm not one of those guys that goes across the field and like hugs up on people and all that. I've been like after the game, win or lose, I kind of go up and say hello after. I don't really seek people out before the game to say hello to.
Like we're enemies today.
Yeah.
Once it's over, it's over.
Now, I will say this. One of my best friends is Steve Sabo, a buddy of mine who's a scout with the Minnesota Vikings. And he was working with the Falcons. And he came in town and I took him to dinner before the Atlanta-Dallas game. And he, you know, at dinner, he's kind of like, man, you guys are going to kick our ass tomorrow. We're just done. You know, I mean, he's going on. And I'm sitting there kind of like going, oh, man, you guys are good. And sure enough, what happened? You know, we afterwards, he said, hey, I told you, man.
We kicked our ass.
But I don't always seek out people. I think people do, which is kind of strange.
It is. I can get, like, if you're playing against each other week of the game, maybe we just don't speak. Yeah. But, I mean, what Mark Andrews is doing here is a little strange.
I don't know. I can be super friendly with you and then at the same time say, we're about to kick your ass, you know, and then say goodbye and whatever. I want to see you because you're a good friend. I don't know what next time I'm going to be able to see you.
Right.
And I relish talking trash to my friends and my brother more than anybody else. You know, I think that's where the fun is.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, because when you're talking trash with other people, there's always, you know, some animosity going on. When it's your friend, you can really let them have it.
If it's your best friend, I'm surprised that you're not texting at least once a week or something.
It's
like
weird.
That. Like, bro, hey, I saw you're struggling a little bit. Like, just wanted to say hello. Wedding. You know,
yeah, I can understand.
Man, you guys are playing great right now.
Hilarious though.
Yeah. All I know is I like successful Baker. That the media is actually like interviewing him, and we're getting to hear his stuff because he's pretty good at it.
He is. The personality's. He's turned to me. I mean, I used to be anti Baker. I'm now.
Well, he was an obnoxious and petulant child.
He was. When he was like running drunkenly and ends up getting tackled. I mean, he did kind of seem like a total D-bag, but now, like, I think the likability factor is really just oozing out.
Yeah. Yeah. He's growing up.
He is matured. All right. George Kittle was on a podcast discussing his welcome to the NFL moment. Here's the crazy joker himself, George Kittle.
What was your welcome to the NFL moment?
First game of my career, I had a one-on-one pass pro Julius Peppers against the Carolina Panthers. I blocked him, but he didn't try very hard, I will say. I just, like, he lined up across from me and I was like, you're kidding me. And he had like the all black visor with like the crazy face mask. I was like, I'm going to die. And then like he thought it was like a run play. It was a pass play. Blocked him. I was like, that was one of the coolest moments of my life. He's also like 6 inches taller than me, it felt like. And then like Cam Newton was warming up in the end zone and he's like 6'5". I felt tiny. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here right now.
Imagine George Kittle saying, I feel tiny.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Are you kidding me?
Like, dude, what? How tall is Kittle?
Yeah,
I'm like Googling 6'5"? It right now. I had the exact same thought. 6'4", 250.
Okay.
Like, what are you saying? You feel tiny right now, George?
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Come on, bro. That was with Debo Samuel on his Bleacher Report podcast there. Now we get to...
He did play at Iowa. He might not have been used to people bigger than him.
Let's get to the New Heights
podcast. The biggest guy on the team.
Sorry. Oh, gosh. This will be cut 6 and 7 here, but Jason Kelce is talking about the media now being kicked out of the locker rooms and the weirdness that was being posted from several people. Like, hey, you get some media watchers in there. And here was part one of this conversation.
For those of you that don't know, after games or practices, there is a period of time that the locker room is open for media members to go in and talk to players, interview them, ask, you know, what happened in the game, you know, what's going on this week, whatever stories are writing.
And
there's no and to that. That is
meat watch.
I don't think that's why they're in there. This is what is being alleged.
This is what is being alleged.
I suppose that there's probably been a few Peters gazed over the years. Here's the statement the NFLPA has issued. Torrey Smith tweeted at my good friend Torrey Smith, former teammate, Super Bowl champion. Torrey,
speak up for the league, man.
Torrey Smith, if only y'all knew how awkward some of the male reporters act. Straight meat watchers. Oof. I'm not gonna lie. It is a little weird that people are in there, but I don't mind. I never minded it.
You never mind them.
My is low on the totem pole. I'm not impressing anybody or doing anything. If you want to look at it, go for it. Be my guest. I got nothing. It's not gonna impress you. It's gonna be.
It's gonna make some babies, man. That's what it's gonna do.
It's efficient. It gets the job done. Especially making girls, but it's not, I don't know. I've never cared. I've never thought about it. And I've never noticed anybody staring at it.
We've been in locker rooms our entire lives. So it's like,
I still remember going into the YMCA in Cleveland Heights and seeing an old man's balls drag along a sauna.
It's a sauna.
You know how hard it is not to look at an old man's balls in a sauna? You can't not look at those. There's nothing sexual about it, Tori. It's like, how the hell are those things hanging that low?
It's so good. The conversation continued as we go into part two of the meat locker room conversation.
It's so easy to just not show your to everybody. Putting a towel on or going to the bathroom that they aren't in. Like, they're not in the showers. Like, hey, how'd you catch that ball? Like, you can definitely not show your d- if you don't want to, guys. It's not mandatory that your d- out while you're talking to these people.
I think it's actually encouraged.
Excuse me, lower your pants, please. I need to do my interview now. What are we talking about? Dude, I don't know what the problem is.
No, I've never had a problem with it, but I think it's actually encouraged by the NFL to be clothed. I don't think they encourage you to be naked.
Hey, can you please show me that tush push? Reach down and touch your toes real quick. I want to see what this looks like.
That's good, man. I feel like Jason Kelce is now lapping Travis in the podcast department. Oh, yeah. Now that he's retired, he's a little bit more free and easy, and he's killing it.
Jason's fantastic. New heights right there. And then Jason or Travis is now getting trolled as not a real Cleveland fan. They're from the Cleveland area. They've apparently been Cleveland fans.
He went to the Guardians game yesterday.
Went to the Guardians game. Now, the thing was he didn't wear any Guardians clothing.
Gear.
Yes. Now,
he usually shows up with gear on.
Usually does. In fact, he did show up to a game with a Texas Rangers hat on.
Thought.
If you remember last year, he showed up and watched the World Series and then was part of the Texas Live afterwards. Yes. So now, last night, after the amazing, heroic Guardians victory, he's tweeting about what a moment it is. And in the comments, he is just getting trolled by, you're a fake bandwagon fan. You don't even like the Guardians.
Because you didn't get the gear?
He didn't wear the gear.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, I guess he learned his lesson.
Yeah. And so the Cleveland Guardian social media team said, okay, so next game you're showing up in full uniform.
Okay.
And maybe we can make that happen. I'd love to see Travis
that would be great.
Show up in just a full-on uni right now. So there's a little bit of that audio dump that we have.
Those Cleveland fans are in a bad spot, though. You know, I feel like that's the Napoleon syndrome.
Yeah.
Just for an entire city. You know, small man's syndrome.
Yeah, it was really that way until LeBron won that championship, though.
Yeah.
They had a lot of struggle.
Yeah.
They got that one. That's that's kind of.
Cleveland, this is for you.
Cleveland, this is for you. That's a legendary move to go back after that trip to Miami and get the one in the way they want it to.
Yeah. Come back from 3-1 down. Shout out to Kyrie. Big part of that, too.
Hilarious news dump. Yeah, we'll talk about what side Jerry's really thinking about scouting him on. That's a Friday news dump here for you in the G-Bag Nation. We have one segment to go. We'll cross with CA, see what the Fan After Dark has cooking for you here coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation to the Fan.
Second and 10, and Prescott back to throw. Has time now, runs out to his right. Throws it to an open man in the end zone. Dowdle diving to his right. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Yeah, buddy, there it is, a touchdown for the Cowboys season. That game was against the Steelers. And the Cowboys replay is brought to you by Ciroc. Please drink responsibly. We are set now for the Fan After Dark. Chris Arnold going to be riding solo here 7 to 8:30, right?
Yeah, let me tell you why.
Okay.
Okay, so you know the Dallas Cowboys have a bye this weekend.
Yes, sir.
And there's a lot of people who say, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do without the Cowboys. I want to hear some Cowboys football on the radio on 105.3 The Fan. So Tim Collins actually found a Cowboys team that can score touchdowns. Oklahoma State Cowboys, fellas, taking on Brigham Young tonight right here after we do with the Fan After Dark at 8:30. And by the way, they may not win the game, but they'll score a touchdown.
Damn right. I also would like to say, let's just close our eyes, pretend we get into the time machine. We're back in the 5 p.m. hour, and that 5 o'clock football hour, presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-Dubs is football.
Both the KMC Masterpiece and G-Bag Nation will be at Buffalo Wild Wings next Friday, Grand Prairie location for a Flagtober stop. And we look forward to seeing you out there. Salute to everybody that made it up to Denton today.
Can I give Buffalo Wild Wings a shout-out? Their commercials with that big old buffalo.
Oh, hilarious.
That cracks me up. That has reinvented some commercial watching for me.
Pretty good.
Okay, yeah.
I like the ones where you have the line into the ref and you can like call the game at halftime or whatever you need to, you know, get your appetizers,
sprinklers,
get
come
your
on.
Cold beverages, stuff like that. Yeah. Another coaching position in the WNBA.
Make sure you pop up on Thursdays at Buffalo Wild Wings where you get the wings half off.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
That kept me surviving when I was just answering the phones up here. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That's some good local knowledge right there. Okay, WNBA's Dallas Wings announcing Latricia Trammell canned. Yeah, speaking of wings, we have a WNBA coach here, Dallas Arlington, the Wings, fired. Oh, no. Fourth coach to be let go since the season ended, along with three others. But yeah, that, you know, that's a, it's an exciting offseason for the Wings. Getting a new coach, getting a top pick. You know,
yeah,
hopefully
they're going to be moving to Dallas Convention Center pretty soon too. I think they got that deal worked out. They're leaving Arlington. Okay. They love the building. You know, Arlington's UT.
Yeah, it's wonderful
out
there.
College Park is beautiful.
Uh-huh.
But City of Dallas said, you know what? We'll give you your own workout facility, your own office headquarters.
And arena?
Yeah, and arena. They're going to build an arena because they got like a $9 billion thing that went through the voters and stuff, and they voted and improved the building. They said, you know what? We need a franchise in here. So they're moving the WNBA's Dallas Wings to Dallas. And I can't remember the date, but it's coming up pretty soon.
So they're going to play at the convention center?
At the convention center. They're going to completely build an arena in there.
Yeah, gut it.
It's a $9 billion process to get that thing together. And they're going to have their headquarters there. The Dallas Wings will have offices and practice headquarters, the whole nine yards.
Fantastic.
Unfortunately, Coach Chandler won't be able to make it.
Yeah.
And I hate it for her because she's a really nice lady. And I'm not saying this is the reason why she lost her job, because she's a good coach. I just don't know why they didn't draft Angel Reese when she was right there for him.
Okay, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know who made the call or who didn't make the call, but it's like she's right there.
Yeah.
And then you would have had that rivalry with Caitlin Clark.
Chris, I mean, you know a lot about the basketball in this town, but haven't the Wings had a lot of high picks, like multiple first-round picks, and just it really hasn't panned out for them as well?
Yeah. You got to make the right picks.
I just feel like I kind of watched the draft before, and it's like, I feel like they had,
They had like one and two, like picks one and two.
Yeah, and you're just kind of like, man, it seems like they've had a lot of high picks.
Or not just high picks, maybe you had two first round picks.
Yeah,
you know, and so it just hadn't worked out. They haven't done a great job, you know, as far as drafting the right players, but the one I'll never forget.
With only like 16 teams in the league and so many good women's players out there, you need like three great players to make a run. Otherwise, you'll be sitting in the cellar like the Wings have. But it'll be exciting to have them closer. That makes it a lot more convenient to me. Sorry for the people in Arlington, but selfishly, that makes it easy to hit on the way home.
Maybe. And they do have a really, really good fan base. So you hate to lose the Arlington fans, but you gain much more here. Maybe those Arlington fans have moved over to Dallas.
Giants wide receiver Malik Nabers getting set to return. They're going to take on the Eagles. I will not be surprised to see the Giants win. Maybe I'm traumatized for my bet payoff situation. But Malik Nabers says he does not remember the end of the play 2 weeks ago when he suffered that concussion against the Cowboys. Who pushed him down? Was that Diggs?
Yeah,
it was Diggs.
Yeah,
that was a tough play right there.
Yeah.
And it was eerie how he went totally motionless. You know, Diggs is up celebrating. I'm like, wait a minute. That dude's not moving.
Yeah.
Big loss, though, for the Giants when he was out. I'm surprised they managed to win a game. But
Remember they went to Seattle and won that game. Yeah.
Nabers is the kind of a player that could be, a candidate for the best receiver in the game.
He went to a Travis Scott concert. He didn't remember that either.
Wow.
In other words, he had improved enough he could go to the concert.
Yeah. Mavs preseason finale last night, right? They get the win. How are we doing with Lucas Kaff? Is he going to be good to go for opening night? Everything's fine?
Yeah, they just want to make sure. And Milwaukee didn't even play a bunch of their guys. But what they were trying to make sure is nobody got hurt. Kind of like the NFL. They didn't want anybody to get hurt. Mm. But I'm going to tell you something. Kyrie Irving is in midseason form. He scored 14 points. He hit his first six shots. We're talking about threes, layups, hang time, the handles. And Klay Thompson, he scored 11 points. He missed his first four, but then he went, boom, all these threes. It's like he started finding his stroke. Lively looked like Lively. Gafford looked like Gafford. A little bit later in the show, before I get out of here, I'm going to go over where the Mavericks are and who the hell is going to start at center.
Okay.
Let alone
two good options, man.
Let alone ESPN has come up with their top 100, and you've got four Mavericks listed. And where are they ranked? You'd be surprised. Plus, we got to talk about the Cowboys, of course. We're going to go around the NFL. Around the NFL is kind of interesting because there's a panic meter out. Athletic's got an article about panic meters, and there's tiers of teams that are in panic mode. And a couple of them are like, we're good. Walking through the graveyard. We're good.
No problem
here. Cowboys fall on that.
I would say high panic. Panicking. Yeah.
They're up there. We're gonna break that down as well. And Tony Garcia is going to join me in about 20 minutes.
Yep. Right on.
Okay. Well, Cowboys is great. Talk about Cowboys.
Defensive tackle, right?
Great
player from the 90s. Look, he was part of that Barry Switzer, Dale Hansen deal on WFAA.
He was around for all this stuff.
He was like, hey, you told that Tony Casillas had a brain tumor. No, I didn't. I didn't say that.
Come on, Barry.
What a wild time. You told Jerry that.
Dale versus Barry, dude. Who would have thought we'd ever be in for that level of entertainment? Oh, it was fun reliving it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's fun taking a stroll down memory lane. Dale Hansen, the subject of an article again today. I bet he loved that.
Oh, you know he did.
Getting that stroll down memory lane. Okay, thanks to Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and fits you. Did it again. 5 hours flawless. It's on autopilot, basically, when Lucius is on the board, dude. Okay, thanks to Zach Wolchuk. Eric Chia follow me back on Monday. Thanks to Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till Monday at 2, you're going home with the G-Back Nation. Addies.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.